American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
It's my music.
You're listening to Music of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich. This is episode 163, and it's another Music Memories episode. And today I'm joined by a returning guest here on the show. He is a former contributor at Voices of Wrestling. It's Andy LaBar. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I am tired. I've been doing yard work all day. We got a day where it wasn't too hot and also not raining. So one of like 3 days we get in all of the Portland area that's like that. So did all my summer yard work here in the second or third day of summer. I'm exhausted, but we'll make it work.
You take the good weather when you can, I suppose, these days. So
yeah, exactly.
Just the way it goes. Yeah.
Although now it's like there's like thunderstorming just about to happen. So I guess Oregon's turning into Florida.
Hopefully not too much there. So, you know.
Yeah. And Wise will be never that close. Yeah.
Right. Well, great to have you back on here, Andy, of course. Last time you were on was a few years ago. It was the Vader episode we did, and that was a lot of fun. And actually, a little behind the scenes here, I was going to have you on the Lex Luger episode I did last year, but when I asked you about it, you said, no, get Drew Wardlaw. He's the biggest Lex Luger fan there is, and turns out you were right, he was. So, and Drew was a great guest, of course, and that was a great episode, but we finally got you back on here for this one, Andy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Drew's one of my best buddies online. We talk every day. It's still kind of the Burning Spirits crew, all other than Kevin, all kind of former Voices of Wrestling contributors. I think I also got him on or recommended him for an episode of Five Star Match Game. I don't know if that was one of the many that you've been on that he was also on, but he performed very well on a WCW episode of that as well. So when I know he's an expert in something, I kind of push him towards that because I don't want to make myself look like a fool if I know that there's someone better at a certain topic than I am.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, since the last time you were on, Andy, you've had a pretty big change in your life because you became a dad. So congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, my kid is almost 11 months. I don't even remember if I was married the last time that I was on either, or if maybe getting ready for it. So at least at some point, married, bought a house, had a kid, the original American dream, I suppose. But yeah, it's been great. If anyone follows me on Twitter, I am currently locked, but I do post a lot of cute photos and videos of little Otis, named after Otis Dozovich, of course. No, not quite. But yeah.
I just love the name Otis LaBar. It's such an old school tough guy name, Otis LaBar. He punched out seven men once, you know.
Yeah, we wanted something old, and it worked for many other reasons. But yeah, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. So
that's great.
It's been a blast. Thanks for the congrats.
Yeah, I think I asked this question to Steve Case when I had him on after he became a dad. Mm-hmm. Have you shown Otis any wrestling yet, or is that still a ways away?
Probably when he was like not able to see screens, because like for the first like few months or a couple months at least, like you can kind of watch whatever you want and listen to whatever you want, because they it's all just kind of like mumble jumbled sounds and images to them, and so like he was not sleeping, and so I probably watched like wrestling in the middle of the night for hours when just holding him and stuff like that, but since he's been more able to kind of see the TV, he's obsessed with like anytime my phone is on and things like that. Probably no wrestling. I pretty much only let him watch baseball, and that's like once every week, if that, like for a few minutes. So not quite doing the wrestling dad thing like Steve. Steve and his lovely wife did send me some books that they made, one about wrestling, which was really cool as a kind of a welcome to fatherhood thing. So shout out to Steve and his cool little family over there. We have to get Otis and Arthur, his kid, to meet and have a fun rivalry like Steve and I have eventually.
Future tag team, I think. Future tag team, yeah, there you go. Right there.
Yeah, tag team that will, yeah, and then barbershop window each other somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've seen the videos of him dancing to Kenny Loggins, so he might be a little bit too busy for wrestling these days, I think, just to be fair. But listen, who needs wrestling when you've got I'm All Right and Nobody's Fool and all those great hits, Andy? Come on.
Oh, yeah. He really... he's loving the Yacht Rock lately. He actually just like grabbed my phone before I put him down for a nap, and somehow he navigated to a Yacht Rock playlist that I have on Spotify. And not, you know, slamming his fingers against the phone. So he somehow navigated to the song that he's been really into lately.
Well, today, Andy, we're here to do another Music Memories episode. And for those that may not know, Music Memories is when I have on a guest to talk about three memories from the wrestling fandom that are strongly linked to music in some way. It could be from a wrestler's theme. It could be a TV or pay-per-view theme, could be from a game, an album, a movie or show about wrestling, perhaps, whatever it may be. And it's not about, you know, analyzing the music like we normally do on the show. It's more of a casual conversation about these themes, about these memories. And no spoiler here yet, Andy, but looking at your choices here, no big surprises, I don't think, given what I know about your wrestling fandom and your tastes in wrestling. But no, you asked me earlier for just a list of songs that were already picked for Music Memories. And I gave you the list, and you were like, oh my god, there's so many songs. So I know it took you a while to think of some, but you got your three eventually, and here we are.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I still keep up with the podcast, and I try and listen to, you know, I'm not watching very much wrestling at all, as I alluded to, whether or not I had Otis. I'm just kind of checked out of a lot of modern stuff, and I think every other month I get really deep into some, like, old Pro or some old territory stuff, just randomly, you know, browsing YouTube. But just been too busy for a lot of wrestling, and everyone's busy, but I just have not been super into it. But yeah, reflecting on some of the themes and choose going, you know, narrowing my list down to 10 and then three for this episode has got the bug back in me a little bit. So it's been fun, and it's been fun to explore, listen to some past Music Memories episodes that I hadn't heard, and see people's picks was very different from, I guess, I think the three that I'm picking for the most part. And I think that's great. I think it's cool to have that kind of like personal touch on the feed.
Yeah, I mean, that's what these episodes are all about. You know, there's no hard set rule for the music. It's all up to the individual taste of each guest. So that's kind of the point there. Yeah. So, all right, well, let's get to it then here, Andy. What is your first music memory for us?
Yeah, my first music memory is the theme of WrestleMania 7, I believe is also the theme of WrestleMania 6 and maybe 8. I have to remember that. And yeah, it's by Jim Johnston. It's just the classic WrestleMania theme for me personally. So yeah, WrestleMania 7, whenever people like ask that question, whether that's in like, I am still a member of the VOW Discord, but when we've ever talked about this, whether it was when I was writing for VOW and in the Slack or on Twitter, or there could be threads or in the Discord or anything like that, be like, when did you start watching wrestling? And I'm 30, I'm almost 38, I'm 37. I started watching wrestling a long time ago, a lot longer than a lot of my contemporaries, I think, and not as long as some other people, like, you know, the Joes or anybody like that. But my first show that I can like distinctly remember watching is WrestleMania 7. And so it's probably the show I've seen the most, the pay-per-view I've seen the most. I don't think it was the first wrestling I ever saw, because I definitely knew the wrestlers going into that show by the first time I watched it, but it's the first like start to finish pay-per-view that I can remember watching. I'm sure I caught you know, one of the Saturday night or Saturday morning WWF shows that they had in the early 90s at some point when I was like 3 or 4 years old. But you know, WrestleMania 7 for me is just one of my all-time favorite shows. It's not the best WrestleMania. It's not even probably in a top 10 as far as actual match quality goes. But there are three, I think, great matches, including one of my top three probably favorite matches of all time. And yeah, it's just something that's near and dear to my heart. And WrestleMania has had some great themes, but this is the one that really sticks out to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the one in LA with Hogan's Slaughter in the main event, which famously they had to move from the big arena to the smaller one because of quote-unquote bomb threats, which, you know, is code for bad ticket sales. But sure, we'll go with bomb threats, fine. But it also has Undertaker in his first Mania match, which is also a pretty big deal. And I'm assuming the match that you mentioned earlier there as one of your favorites of all time is Warrior Savage, the retirement match.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's one of those ones that I just never get bored of. I mean, I'm a big Ultimate Warrior mark, which is a weird thing to say. I mean, he's dead, so whatever. I mean, not a good person. And you know, a lot of the stuff that happened while he was alive was you know, just not great. And the way that he died was still, it's like, that was what a crazy thing to come back, get inducted to the Hall of Fame, and then be on Raw and then die the next day or that night or whatever. Like, one of the craziest stories ever in wrestling. But yeah, that match is something, especially the moments after with the Randy Savage redemption and all that stuff is just, it's something that will never leave me. And I think is like WWE melodrama done right. They've had some great melodrama and dramatic angles since then, but it's still to this day, you know, what is it? I don't even know the math. 30 years later, more than that, 32 years later, it's still, to me, just the peak of that, and I love it. So yeah, it's great. I almost chose I wanted to have something from this show, and I almost was going to see if I could do the Willie Nelson opener where he sings oh Jesus, God Bless America, is there America the Beautiful, or well, anyway, he does something. He might even do the Star Spangled Banner, but he opens it and he's wears like he has like a Ringer baseball t-shirt with like the World Heavyweight Championship, or maybe has the belt on. It's like a kid's toy belt because he's just a frail little guy. And Willie Nelson's, you know, probably my favorite musician, so I almost thought about having him do that. But I think the theme itself is it really works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the title of it you didn't say, but it's called The Grand Spectacle. Is the official name?
I just know it as WrestleMania 7 theme.
That's fine. That's fine. it's fine. But yeah, you know, with the guitar riff and the horns in there, it's a very fitting WrestleMania kind of theme for sure, and a fitting name too. And I'm glad you picked it because, you know, there's the other WrestleMania theme from around that time period. You know, the whoa, it's WrestleMania, and you know, between WrestleMania themes episode and WrestleMania the album and Linda McMahon and Alan Farrell's Music Memories, we played that song just ad nauseum on the show over the years. So I'm glad you picked a song that is also very iconic when it comes to Mania, but you know, isn't as overplayed on this show as that one is. So thank you, Andy.
Yeah, and you know, thankfully and hopefully the listeners at home aren't going to get the Vince McMahon voiceovers. You know, it's WrestleMania, the Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, the Ultimate Challenge. You know, all this. It's just like, that's just so that whole way of introducing pay per views really from like 1989 or up until like 1993 is really, I mean, that's my favorite era of wrestling, basically. Whether it's in WWF or WCW or anything like that, it's just that's my favorite time period. I think that's because when I first really got into it.
The mega powers explode at WrestleMania. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, and I thought about, you know, if I wanted to tie it to anything else, but yeah, I think it's a memorable one. I did, speaking of Drew, we talked about him earlier. I asked him like what he would choose. Are we just talking about me coming on here? And he said he would choose Easy Lover by Phil Collins. So, which is pretty funny. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. That was number one. Andy, what is music memory number two?
All right. Music memory number two for me is, one of my favorite Japanese themes of the early 90s, and one that is was hard for me to choose between many different themes, but this is one that he was probably my first favorite Japanese wrestler and the first one that I really remember seeing a picture of and being like, holy crap, I need to find anything with this guy, and that is Hayabusa, his theme, which I'm forgetting the title of right now. Fight with Dream, of course. Yes, I want to say Take That Dream, but I think that's Tenryu maybe. So yeah, anyway, are, it doesn't matter. Fight with Dream, perfect. Hayabusa's theme from FMW. It's just, I have like distinct memories of watching, you know, scouring the internet in like 56K internet days and some of our older wrestling fans. I think maybe Alan or Rich or someone's talked about this at a time of, you know, having to go through these bootleg sites or trying to find like wrestling files on Napster and LimeWire and things like that. These videos that were like, you know, 240 by like 180 or what, you know, like the smallest video size, it would take you 6 to 10 hours to download these things, and they'd only play in real player. And I remember just like typing in Hayabusa or typing in FMW after I saw them in probably After Mags, and you know, that is, to me, FMW is probably my favorite promotion. I don't necessarily think it's the best promotion. There's lots of bad stuff off FMW, but like if I were to run a wrestling promotion, FMW would be kind of my vision, because it's just all over the place. It's just crazy. It's a huge spectacle. And Hayabusa, for me, obviously Onita's the biggest name, and that's that. But Hayabusa's theme and his look, I think I probably also saw him early on in WCW or NWO World Tour on the Nintendo 64 as Hannibal, I believe. And yeah, that's who I always played as. And it's just such a cool theme. I love like the, I don't know how you describe it. Maybe you'd be better at it, but the dun, 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 dun. It's just, it's so cool. And he just, with his look, just feels, still to this day, gets me hyped when I watch old matches with him. Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one of those guys who I only got to know and see after he had to retire. I never got to actually watch him wrestle during his career in any way, which is a shame, because like you said, if I had seen him when I was like a kid or whatever, he would have been my favorite guy for sure, because, you know, I've said before on the show how when I was a kid, Rey Mysterio, I just fell in love with that guy because he looked cool and did amazing moves. And if I was 8 or 9 and I saw Hayabusa do a Phoenix Splash, my mind would have exploded. You know, that, yeah, that would have been it right there, because yeah, everything about him, you know, it just screams cool. He looks badass. He does these amazing moves. He has cool music. You know,
he's all scarred up like Sabu. Like he's, you know, yeah, he does death matches. He does high flying matches. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the name Fight with Dream just has this very, you know, captivating feeling to it, you know, and he just has this very unique, cool vibe about him just in general. And that's half the battle right there, I think. And, you know, I'm lucky to have grown up with Rey Mysterio and Dragon Kid and Will Ospreay and Ricochet and all these guys who do amazing things in the ring. Don't get me wrong, but you know, who was the guy who inspired those guys? It was Hayabusa.
Right.
You know, I mean, Ospreay last year literally wore a Hayabusa mask and tribute gear for a match of his. So the influence is quite clear, I think, for a lot of guys. And I'm glad we had the footage, of course, but, you know, I just wish I got to see him, you know, in real time, I suppose, Andy.
Yeah, and it's not like I was watching. I wasn't necessarily tape trading. I mean, I think the only tapes I ever did trade, because I didn't have the money, so I wasn't really into that, was for FMW tapes. And I don't know, they were just compilations of some kind, maybe a year in review or something like that, maybe an anniversary show. But, you know, I growing up in Oregon, we didn't get ECW until it was on TNN. And so some of these, this extreme matches I would see in the magazines again, I would see Taz, I would hear about Triple Threat, I would hear about all these people. But I, you know, when I first started to see ECW was towards the end, and you know, the grand scheme of things and the watered down version. And then there's still some great stuff there. I mean, seeing, you know, RVD versus Jerry Lynn and seeing Tajiri and Super Crazy and still like those last days of Taz and things like that, like awesome. I would stay up late and watch that. But I knew Hayabusa for whatever reason, you know, pictures, video games, things like that. And when I had internet and the capability to try and download videos on, again, a 56K modem, it would take a long time. You know, I was looking for FMW and I was looking for Hayabusa in particular, and Great Sasuke, because also he looked like a ninja. He wasn't in FMW, original, but he was in there a handful of times. But just like these cool guys, I was like, whoa, what is this? Like, I had no affinity for New Japan Juniors until probably, you know, the 2010s. Like, it was all FMW as far as Japanese stuff goes until then. So that is my favorite promotion that's still, to me, aesthetically, other than the next one we'll talk about, probably my favorite promotion. It's just, it doesn't rope, it's not for everybody. He's not for everybody. I hear people who don't think he's any good and he's sloppy and all that, and that's something that makes it so exciting to me. He wasn't super over compared to Onita. No one is, but like, yeah, he's just awesome. And still to this day, I wouldn't call him my favorite wrestler ever, but I would put him like on my greatest wrestler ever list, because, again, of that inspiration factor and enough like awesome moments that, yeah, he's someone who I just hold really near and dear to my heart and my fandom. Sorry, I'm rambling, trying to think of...
No, rambling is good. We like rambling here. Don't worry.
Yeah, I think they did use this. Hayabusa and Jinsei Shinzaki went in the ECW. I think they used Fight with Dream in ECW, which those matches are, I'm sure, dubbed, but I'm pretty sure they used the Hayabusa theme, but not Jinsei Shinzaki's theme, which is also awesome. But yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but for people who did watch ECW and didn't watch FMW, they may have heard it there, but it's just something, I don't know, it's so cinematic in its scope, and I just love Fight with Dream as a song still to this day.
Mm-hmm. yeah and Hayabusa, no longer with us, sadly. He died way too young. He was only 47 years old, which is crazy, and he got the injury when he was, I think, 32, so it's very, very sad ending to his career, unfortunately. And actually, this is kind of a screwed up thing, I guess, but I think one of the first times I ever saw Hayabusa was in some just random wrestling music video of Botches. I think it was pre-Botchamania even. And one of the clips was the infamous Hayabusa botch, where he goes for a springboard moonsault in the ring, which, you know, is a lion salt, really. And he's done it a million times, I'm sure. But this time he slipped on the ropes and he just landed right on his head. And it paralyzed him. And he never wrestled again. And, you know, thankfully, a few years ago, before he died, there's that famous video of him being able to get up out of his wheelchair and walk up the steps into the ring for the first time. And, you know, all these wrestlers are there, like Tenryu and Muto and Marufuji, and, you know, Dragon Kid is crying, and he's in the ring, and, you know, Shinzaki does the 10-bell salute, and it's very emotional and a very, very heartwarming, you know, moment for a guy who just had his career taken away from him just like that. So, yeah, all told, a pretty sad story for, you know, a very iconic and influential figure in wrestling, but at least he was able to get that moment towards the end, Andy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, he had other gimmicks, he had other theme songs, but this is the one that everyone associates with him. But yeah, lives on forever. I mean, with his look, when wrestling bootlegging, and that, I come from that community a little bit, like bootleg tees and things like that. You know, I made some for some shoot style promotions and whatnot. There was a period, probably in 2016, 2015 to 2018, where, like, other than Great Muta themed stuff, like Hayabusa was like the top. Like, everyone was making Hayabusa gear just because it's so easy to make him look cool, because he is just one of the coolest looking wrestlers of all time. It's a combination of like a bunch of different like looks and gimmicks, but it just still looks cool to this day. Like, he looks like a superhero or like an anime character or something. In fact, did you read Do a Powerbomb, the Daniel Warren Johnston comic that came out this year?
I have not.
Or no. Last year? Oh, so it's really good. I know that you've been, we're friends on Goodreads, behind the curtain. I know that you've been reading some comics here and there, but there's a really good kind of sci-fi wrestling comic, co-signed by Kelly Harris, we'll also say, is really good, that came out last year. And the main, I guess, antagonist, but then also becomes one of the main wrestlers in it, is just a Hayabusa cop, like a ripped, like Hulk Hogan body, but like in a Hayabusa costume. Like, it's still such a iconic look, and I think really does kind of look like a comic book, similar to Liger in that way. Yeah,
I'll check it out, definitely. Yeah. All right, so Andy, what is your third and final music memory for us?
All right, my third and final music memory, and you said you were not surprised by this. This was actually my last pick. I probably wanted to pick something from this genre of wrestling, and I was deciding between a few different things. I won't spoil those in case other people use them, but I do think this genre of shoot style, which is something that a lot of people used to know me for. I had had a 20-something episode podcast about shoot style called Fighting With Friends for years, and I do tend to like more grappling heavy matches in general. And my favorite promotion is Fighting Network Rings, or Rings as everyone knows it as, has a lot of great themes. And what I discovered when first watching these promotions, in this style in particular, was I found maybe my favorite wrestler of all time, someone who has less than 100 matches and might be, in my eyes, the best to ever do it. And it's not Kiyoshi Tamura, who's also amazing, but it is no one else but the great Russian Volk Han in his theme called Second Rendezvous. Yeah, so, God, that's such an epic theme. Volk Han, if you've never seen him, and there might not be a ton of crossover in days. I think there are a lot of people. There's a big divide, or used to be. I think everyone kind of just watches whatever they want at this point, but especially during COVID and pre-COVID, everyone wants to get wars about styles of wrestling and what's the best, and it still happens. I'm definitely out of that circle now, but you know, a lot of people don't like shoot style. They will say like Kiyoshi Tamura is great. They'll say, like Yuki Ishikawa is great. But like some of these, and they usually will like Volk Han, but like, to me, he's someone who I don't understand not liking. I know people don't like the style. It's too slow for them. I'd rather just watch MMA or whatever. But this tall, not doughy, but not super like ripped Russian guy with like a Beatles haircut in these like kind of ugly blue tights. But like the best, you know, Sambo fighter, just one of the best mission wrestlers I've ever seen, coming out to this theme that sounds like, I don't know, like a horror movie, like Russian, I don't know, like a militaristic horror movie. Like you could see people like running away with this song playing, some kind of like zombified, you know, soldiers or something like that. And it's just, it's loud, it's epic. The lights go out. You got like these organ and the high pitched, you know, choir sounds. And it's just, I don't know, it's something that I was like, oh man, the first time I saw him, I'd heard about him, and then I hear the theme and kind of his first matches, and I was just blown away. And it just fits in perfectly. There's some themes that just fit wrestlers perfectly, and Second Rendezvous is, I think, one of those themes that fits Volk Han just super perfect.
Yeah, I can wax poetic with you about Hayabusa, no problem. Waxing poetic about Volk Han, though, not so much. Not that I hate him, don't get me wrong, I just haven't watched him. You know, I haven't watched really any of that 90s shoot-style Japan stuff, like Rings, sure, or Pancrase or UWFI or whatever. It's just not really my thing. You know, I love Brian Danielson, I love Zack Sabre Jr. and those guys, but this kind of stuff is not really my bag, baby, as Austin Powers would say. But yeah, again, listen, the whole point of Music Memories is not my preferences, it's the guest preferences. And as I said earlier, Andy, you know, no big shocker here you'd pick this one, because as long as I've known you, you've been a big fan of this kind of shoot style stuff. So, you know, will I sit here and list off my 50 favorite Rings matches? No, of course not. But the song is pretty good. There is that at least, Andy. So it's got that going for it, I think.
Yeah, and I definitely, like, with you, like, I definitely understand, and not just you, but, like, you know, some of our contemporaries and folks, whether in the VOW circle or else, you know, other places, like, there are, especially if you think about like modern interpretations of shoot style, whether that's Bloodsport or when, you know, some indies try and do what they call UWFI matches, things like that. Like, a lot of them are super boring. And I definitely understand, like, people not liking, like, modern day hard hit or, you know, these things like that. And I don't begrudge people. I think a lot of it is interesting if it's done well. But that's because I gravitate more towards it. But I do want to, like, tell you, and then also, you know, anyone listening, like, a lot of that stuff early on, especially, you know, the first like 5 years of Rings, when it is still a pro wrestling promotion, a lot of it is like super exciting, super hard hitting. It's not sitting in a hold. That does happen, but it's done with such drama that it really feels like a, you know, like a really ramped up UFC fight, or like a no holds bar, like early UFC or like no holds barred type fight. A lot of the times, like, the slaps are and crazy, the kicks are crazy, Volkan in particular, and then tomorrow later on, like, they're able to pull these submissions just like out of thin air. That look like so much more painful than, like, you know, what basically anyone does nowadays. And they probably are. And there's something about at least certain suit style promotions, Rings being one of them, early UWF, and things like that, where when people try and imitate them nowadays, it looks like really poor because you have these people coming from all over with different kinds of training coming together to try and imitate a style. Whereas these were like schools, right? They were like schools trained by a particular person or having experts in a martial arts field learning how to be a pro wrestler. And so you have people who, you know, their shooty stuff, their more kind of MMA, what would later become known as MMA style stuff, you know, that's their background. And so they're going to look a lot better at this kind of stuff than, and maybe worse at the pro wrestling angle. And so, whereas if you're a pro wrestler, you might be good at, but then not be very good at the MMA style stuff. And so it's just this reverse thing. And they're able to work with each other. And it's just, anyway, there, I haven't even finished my Rings watch through from many years ago. But I do have like a big folder of like matches that I recommend. And I've sent some with like particular wrestlers who aren't so into like the submissions and things like that, especially from Rings, that are super exciting, like heavy suplex, heavy matches. This is matches that feel like you're watching like, you know, Ishii almost, like with the way that the strikes happen, or it's just, there's some crazy stuff there. You just definitely, it's intimidating to take that dive in. And, you know, a lot of the folks online, some of them, get under people's gills around their opinions and things like that, and I'm part of that crowd, and I say that lovingly and also understanding that, like, there's some people who, you know, are very online and want people to think exactly like them. So it can be intimidating, and no one, it's not for everybody, but there is some great stuff that I think kind of transcends you know, the style, I should say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's important if you have any interest whatsoever in a certain type of company or a certain style of wrestling, then, you know, whether it's, you know, a big interest or a small interest, you should at least give it a chance, at least once, you know, because, yeah, you know, you might like it. And if you don't, then there's plenty of wrestling in the sea. You know, there's an entire ocean of wrestling out there to watch and discover and like or not like. So that's the beauty of wrestling, I think. And yeah, and as far as Volkan goes, I did not know this until recently. Volkan is not his real name.
No.
It's a ring name.
Yeah.
His real name is a lot longer.
Yes.
It's Magomedkan Amunaleyevich Gamzatkanov, which just rolls off the tongue so smoothly there, Andy. I don't know why he changed it, but yeah, Volkan, Volk is Russian for wolf.
Yes.
Khan is just a shortening of the name, so there you go, Volkan. Like Otis LaBar, a very strong name I would have, and yeah, I've seen a few photos and videos of him too. He's not built like a Greek god, he's kind of like a dad, looks-wise, but he's big, and he knows his wrestling, and his sambo, and his martial arts, and, you know, sure, he has a nice smile, but you don't want to get him his bad side, I don't think, Andy, that's for sure.
Yeah, Volk's extremely unique, like, in Rings, in that he is, like, really long, and a lot of the people are, I mean, there's some taller guys, but you got some shorter folks and whatnot, but he's, like, a submission specialist rather than a striking specialist, but he's tall, and you know, he has, like, kind of longer limbs, and so, I don't know, he has some that are just absolutely brutal, and, you know, kind of gets all different styles, and he is great. He also has he has one of the all-time great fire pro names, which is Wolf Burn. So again, kind of, you know, in the early Fire Pro games, they had fake names because they didn't have licenses, but they'd have, like, you know, hundreds of wrestlers. But his nickname was the Hot Dog. So the Hot Dog Wolf Burn, which is one of the best names ever.
Yeah, that's great. I'm trying to remember some names. I know Vader was Saber in the Fire Pro games. There's that one at least. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, there's a whole slew of fake names that are great in those games. Yeah.
I always remember Bill Goldberg, Neo Human Die Finger, which is
right. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Or Macho Star Axe Duggan for Hogan. Like, it's just, there's really silly ones, but yeah, some really, I almost had a, back when I had my, drafting style podcast, it only lasted three episodes, but I wanted to do, like, best fake wrestler, like, video game wrestler names, but draft, and just cause some of them are so funny throughout all the different mini wrestling video games.
Yeah, it's kind of like the meme of the Japanese game from the 90s that had to come up with, like, a bunch of fake American baseball player names. Oh, so yeah. It's kind of like the wrestling version of that, pretty much. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Music of the Mat. Thank you so much for listening. And Andy, thank you for being here again. This was just a lot of fun. We didn't go as long as the Vader episode, and there weren't as many rock or metal themes this time around either. But still, this was just a real blast talking with you about these memories and about these songs.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's probably good that I'm not going super long. A lot of my old podcasts, whether I was producing them or I was guest with you or on other old VOW podcasts, I have a tendency to go like 3 hours. So probably good to keep it under an hour. That's how I like to listen to podcasts anyway. So thanks for having me. It's great to be back and on the airwaves again. And I'd love to come back at some point with a themed episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Any plugs you want to give? Go right ahead.
Not much right now. As I mentioned, my Twitter is currently locked, so I'm not really going to tweet that. And that's just because I'm potentially in the job hunt field, and not that I say anything too controversial. I just think that's a safe thing to do. I do have an article as part of the Wrestling 101 series on Voices of Wrestling that will probably be up by the time this podcast drops. It's one of my favorite matches of all time. It's going to be in a series of matches, mostly around cage matches. So take a look at that. It's the first time I've written about wrestling in almost 2 years, I think. So that was fun to write, and kind of succinctly encapsulates a lot of my feelings about wrestling and when some of the things I struggle with nowadays. Yeah, that's about it. Join the VOW Music League, where I'm destroying you in second place, though. But it's just I don't have too much to plug. Just be nice to each other, and then watch YouTube. Tim Horner, Shameless. That was my alternate pick, which is Tim Horner from Smoky Mountain Wrestling in Memphis Wrestling, covering Garth Brooks in a terrible, terrible rendition.
Yeah, I also wrote a blurb a few months ago for the Wrestling 101 series about the famous Kobashi and Kikuchi versus Can-Am Express match from All Japan.
Oh, what a match.
Which is, an amazing match, and that was a lot of fun to write about. And the whole series by Robin Reed and Kevin Hare is great, so yeah, check that out for sure.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun and seeing Aaron AT write his like reviews around a lot of matches that he hasn't seen. He's a great writer, so it's cool to see him do something he's passionate about.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And Music of the Mat is, of course, part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find all the great shows on there at voicesofwrestling.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Music of the Mat. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich. VoicesOfWrestling.com/Discord for all discussions and comments. VoicesOfWrestling.com/donate for any donations. Just click the big donate button beneath the name Music of the Mat. If you donate, hey, thanks so much. You're awesome. And of course, rate, review, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other places. Andy, thank you again, and I'll see you around.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
All right. For Andy Labar, I'm Andrew Rich. And I'll see you next time on Music of the Mat. Take care, guys.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill three contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.